Welcome. If we haven't met, I'm Blake Whiteman. I am the campus pastor here at Life Coeur d'Alene. Man, we're so thankful to be able to call this place home and to call this a grand opening. And, you know, we're beyond blessed for what God has provided for us. And it's just very providential that the time in which we get to open this location is the same time that we get to celebrate 25 years as a church. And as Christian mentioned, we now are in four locations here of what we call campuses, and we have multiple church plants across Idaho and in the Northwest. And so when he talk about we are real life, we talk about what it means to be the church. And we call real life ministries for a reason, is because we desire with more than anything in our hearts that we would be a people that have a real life relationship with the real God of the universe. And we know that that means something. Real life means that there's going to be some connotation with that, that there's story, that there's hurt, there's pain, there's joy, there's celebration. And so we get to talk about what it means today to be what we believe God calls the church. And as I mentioned earlier today, that this is not a new building with a new people doing a new thing. This is a new location with the same people doing the same thing. And we've been a church that has aspired to be what the Bible tells us that we are to be, which is a group of people that are called out to be different. If you're new with us today, we're super glad that you're here. We hope that you hear an invitation to walk in the life that God has designed for you to have. If you've been a part of this church for a while, you know what's coming today. You know that I'm gonna talk about what we believe truth of life is, about where you will find it, about what happens when we forget the story and we deviate from what God tells us is life and truth in the hopes that we would bring back yet again an invitation for you to say, today, God, I want to trust you again. Today, God, I want to be your man, your woman, your child, your people, your church. Today, God, would you remind us of that truth? And as we talk about all those things together yet again, this week, next week, and every week, we're going to say, this is who we are. This is who we aspire to be. Not only just this is who I am, but who we are. That's a collective, it's us together. Believe that God has called us to be family, to be community. You were designed to be in relationship. And so as we get to dive in this message this week, as Christian talked about, we get today to talk about one of the many facets that make up the character of the God that we believe in, which is one that chases that which strays, that runs after that which deviates, that God loves so much the thing that he created the most that he doesn't want it ever to be lost, ever to be perished, which is you. And so today we get to talk about who our God is in hopes that we would decide that we would embody the same characteristics of our God, because that's what he invites us into, is to see him for who he is, to believe that the truth of the Bible is real and applicable for you today where you sit. No matter where you are in your journey and your story, no matter how good it may be right now or how bleak it may seem, that right in the middle of every day, that the journey that you walk upon is one that God says, I will be with you. If you choose to trust me, I will do great things in and through you. And that's the part of the message we get today. As we recap, we're gonna talk a little bit about what we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. And then today we're talking about chasing the strays. Because we are talking about the church, this is gonna be us as a collective. Here's what we hope to do. This is what we aspire to be. It is individuals that make this decision to say, this is who I want to be because of who God is and what he's done in my life. And then the I becomes we. It is an us conversation. The body of Christ, the church is always intended to be all of us together. So today, here's what I hope you hear, an invitation and encouragement. For some of us today, it may be a little bit challenging. There may be some conviction that goes with the truth of God. That's a good thing. That means you're still breathing, that you still got a pulse in your body, is that God is chasing you down, pursuing you, inviting you. That's a good thing today. Please don't push it aside. Be willing to be a person that says, I know that what it means to find life is to lose mine, that I need to hear what truth is. I need to be corrected. I need to be spurred on. If you find that today, man, praise God for it. If you're a person today that is encouraged, let's go. Good job. Let's be who God has called us to be. That's what it means to be real life. That's what it means to be God's church. This is a conversation of who we are and who we hope to be. You ready for today? I hope you have your Bibles ready. We're going to dive in. We're always going to talk about the text and the scripture of God and the story of God, which proves and shows us what the truth of God is, and hopefully nothing else. And so let's dive in. We're going to do a little bit of a recap again. This is week 4. What we talked about at the beginning of the series is that we aspire to be God's church. And first and foremost, we have a vision and a mission and a process. You may have heard this before if you've been a part of Real Life. If not, we exist to reach a world for Jesus one person at a time. One person at a time is why we gather. God says that his desire is that none should be lost, that all will come to the knowing the salvation of the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel and who the God of creation is. We exist as a church. Do you exist as an individual to be a person that is willing to reach someone, anyone, one person at a time for the Lord? We are. We're gonna do that in relationship. That's what we believe as a church. We're gonna make biblical disciples in relational environments. We believe that disciple making is the conduit in which we have a life that becomes Christ-like, that we grow, that we change, that we become sanctified as in relationship for the purpose of growing in our faith in who God is. We do that together. It is not easy. It takes a journey. It takes a family. It takes time, wins and losses, ups and downs, walking through life with God together. That is in relationship where discipleship happens. We take that seriously. And we believe that God gives us a methodology in which he himself shares and connects and ministers and disciples and repeats that process. That is who we are. We are Real Life. That's what it means to be God's church, we believe. Through that, we have some essentials. We've shared these essentials. First and foremost, more than anything else, we will always encourage and return to an abiding relationship with Jesus. The only thing we have to offer anyone in our life is the relationship and the outpouring of what God is in our lives and who he is to us. Your story, your testimony is powerful and gives people hope to see the story that they can have. To let people know that we're not alone. Your abiding relationship with Jesus is the foundation. John 17, Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me. Corinthians says, you can know everything. Who likes to know everything? I like to know everything. You can know everything. You can speak in the tongues of angels. You can do everything there is under the sun, and you can do it in the name of the Lord. But if you have not love, God says, you're nothing. We abide in Jesus. The outpouring of God in our lives allows us to be the people that we want to be and to be about what it is that God is about. Week two, we talked about that God is one that reaches the lost. He wants to reach that as those that are lost. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus invites us to be a people to seek and save the lost. We're gonna have to change priority. We're gonna have to change who we are. We're gonna have to change what we believe if we're gonna be people that are gonna chase that is lost. Last week we talked about when we find people, we want to connect the unconnected, connect into the body, connect into relationship, connect into the environment in which we grow and change. This week, we get to talk about what it means to chase the strays. Chase the strays. I wanna know, who has pets in here? If you got a pet, let me see your hands, okay? Let me see you cat people. I have a cat, it's fine. It's not a bad thing. Let me see who's got dogs. All right. Anybody ever had a pet that has run astray? That has been God? Yeah, yeah. Who chases after their pets when they stray? Who doesn't? Hey, right? Yeah, there's a couple pets in our family where I'm like, just let them go. Let them go, right? Bless them, Lord. I hope that they find a good home. Just maybe not this one. Okay, the idea of strays is what we're going to try to talk about with ourselves today. Okay, and there's 3 points, but I'm gonna tell the story, a story, to prove the point today. Our points today are, number one, we stray. Yep, number one, the story of God's people, your story, your life, you stray. Okay, number two is, in your straying, in your wandering, in your running, you have a God who chases you down. Our God chases. Our God is relentless. Our God is a God that seeks that which has wandered. God chases that which strays. Which leads us to the last point, which is when God invites us to be a part of his family, his team, his church, as a disciple and a disciple maker, as we abide in Christ, we are called to put our God on display, which means if our God chases what we chase, we will chase what our God chases. We will put on display for the world the love and the patience and the kindness and the steadfastness and the perseverance of a God of all creation that says, this is who I am and this is what I do. And look at my people, they do the same thing. That is how the world will know that Jesus has been sent, that the God of creation is who he says he is the way in which we love each other. And man, there's a really powerful way to show that you love someone when you're willing to chase them down. Anybody ever been found that has wandered? Anybody ever strayed that's been found? Man, you know the feeling, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. When we know why our God chases, it helps us chase. When we realize and recognize and own the fact that we wander sometimes, that we stray, and we talk about why. Why do I stray? Why do I run? Man, that's going to help us know how to return, right? That's going to help us know how we chase. How do we engage? How do we bring back? If we miss the why and we miss the heart, man, then we're going to miss the point. And the point is not that we do things. The point is not that we tell people when they're gone and that they're wrong. The point is that we ourselves would be a people that say, let me tell you what God has done in my life, and I'm going to be about what God is about. And the only way that we're going to do that well is as a family, as a church, in relationship, the people that chase each other together. That's really just the message for today. But the why behind it, I believe, is what gives us the ability to be inspired to do it. Okay, we have a God. This is a story in the text of a God who chases that which is strayed. We see in the very beginning that God in creation in Genesis created everything. And he said that it was good. At the finalization of creation, he said everything is very good. The part of creation that he loves the most is who? I'm going to ask it again. Who is it that God, what is it that God loves most in creation? It's us. Let's go, okay? It's us. The crown jewel of everything that ever has been made is that in which God made in his image and his likeness. Together, God said that man and woman have been formed out of the dust of the ground, fearfully and wonderfully made with every quirk and every intention. God has made you. God has made people, those that are to be the ones that oversee and steward the amazing creation that we get to live in. God says, my favorite part is you. And I've given you something. You're different than the animals of the field. You're different than the fish of the sea. You're different than the trees and the land. And however beautiful that is, and I know that you've seen it in creation, you are above that. I have created you in my image and likeness to be that which stewards it. That which points to all creation, who I am. And God in the beginning creates that in the form of Adam and Eve. And we see that there's a beautiful story into which God says, I am enough and I am with you. In everything that there is, would you just trust me in it? And Adam and Eve walked in the garden of creation with God, and it was very, very, very good. That's the story. Now our God is a God that knows everything, that functions in intention, and in creation, and in a part of God's creation to show us that he is love, to show us that he actually believes that you and I are good, is a God that walks in the garden with us. And God gives us the opportunity of life to choose to trust that we are good, that he is good, that he is for us, that he is with us, that he provides enough for us to give us choice to show us that that's true. In Adam and Eve in the beginning, they're asked not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though it's right next to the tree of life. And we know that in Adam and Eve, in their decision, what did they choose? They chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read the story, you'll see there's multiple reasons why. You see that there's a deceiver, the one that deceives in the garden. You see that Adam and Eve go, man, is God really who he says he is? Did he really say that we shouldn't do that? Because when you look upon the fruit of life, you see that it is desirable. It's good for food and the ability to gain wisdom. And we see that Adam and Eve first and then Adam to follow, actually say, I don't trust God that what he said is true is good. That I do have enough, I aspire to have more. And I'm gonna take it upon myself to see that I have it. And we know that the story of Adam and Eve is our story, we are they, and that they chose to not trust God. Maybe they were deceived, maybe there was fear, maybe there was discontentedness, we don't know, maybe all. But we see that they make that decision. And when they make that decision, what do they recognize about themselves? That they're naked, right? Right before that, God said that they were naked and they felt no shame. They felt no shame in who God had made you to be. They felt no shame in the life that you have. They felt no shame in relationship with God of how much you have or what do you make and is God enough. They felt no shame. They were good as God said it. But when they decided to be disobedient, decided to lack faith and lack trust and make that decision, immediately they knew what they did they not? Do you know what you do immediately when you make that decision? Yeah. And in life, like Adam and Eve, we see that immediately they hide, they run, they make a way to cover themselves up. And we see that God enters into the story, which is the very beginning of the topic that we talk about today. in the very beginning of the first story of the text is the very beginning of where we start to see who our God is, not just only in the beginning, but through the entire story of humanity right to the very day in which we sit in this auditorium today. And we see that God shows up on the scene. Did God know that Adam and Eve were going to make that decision and lacking in faith and trust? Did he know that? Yes. And it says that God showed up into their lives, into your lives, into my life, and God shows up and they hear him walking in relationship, and he comes upon the scene and he says, I knew you were gonna blew it. You blown it again. I knew you were gonna mess it up. Just waiting for you to be who you knew you were the whole time. You lacking in faith. You're not good enough. You are a wretch. Let me tell you how disappointed in you that I am. I'm gonna write the rest of the story for the entire world for you to believe that you have fallen short, that you're no good, and I want everybody to know that this is who you are. Is that the story of Genesis in your Bible? It's not in mine either. God comes into your life, into the story of Adam and Eve, and he expects you to be right where you were, right where he left you before you made that decision. And after. And God comes into the store and he says, where are you? Almost like where you put your shoes before you left the day. Like, oh, my shoes were there. Where are they? And Adam and Eve were the ones that ran, that hid, that strayed. And in the very first story of the Bible, we see that there's a God that shows up. There's a God that comes into our life and he says, where did you go? Because God in that story is not the one that changed. We are. And we see that God furnishes clothes, even though we already make our own. We try to cover our own. God says, let me actually cover you in a way. He fastens for them skin. He puts clothes on them. And he reminds them that he is this God and that he loves them. Now in this, don't miss it, because this is a theme that goes through. There are consequences to our actions, are there not? Okay, God says in that story, in our story, hey, based on the decisions you make, there's gonna be some things that aren't gonna go so well. Because when you take life into your own hands and you make decisions, they're gonna be harmful for you and for other people. There will be consequences, but do not miss, I am here with you. I've always been here with you, and I'm inviting you to trust me to be in it the entire way. And we see that that's the start of the story. Do we not see that? We have a God that chases. We have a God that's there. But it doesn't end there, and we don't skip from that point all the way over to like the one verse in the New Testament to where he goes, God chases. There's a little bit of time and a little bit of story in between there, is there not? Because we see that after that, the very next story is that God has a story of Cain and Abel, the very next generation, the very next opportunity for them to trust and believe. And we see that Cain and Abel have a conversation, and they're living their life, and they're making an offering to God, and one God's pleased with, and one God says, you know, I think you can do better. Have you ever been in a spot in your life where you've done something to where God says, I think you could do better? How do you react? I surely don't like that. Well, we see that Cain has an opportunity and God says, hey, listen, this is the continuation of the story that you're gonna fall short. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna do your best sometimes, but I have a little bit more for you and I have a story that you don't know. And guess what? If I come to you, God says to Cain, and I'm asking you to do what is right, it will go well with you. But the next part of the story is that he also says that there's going to be this desire, this concept of sin, this idea, this beautiful fruit that's gonna sit right next to you, that's gonna be there your entire life. And its desire is to overtake you. Its desire is to be beautiful and seem like it's more than what I am. You have the ability to be different, Cain, to be different, Adam and Eve, to be different, man and woman who sit in this room today. You have the ability to say no to that which entices you to stray. You have the ability to say no to that, but Cain decided not to, just like Adam and Eve decided not to, just like we decide not to. And we see that Cain doesn't. He kills his brother. He runs to the east of God, and he builds not only a life for himself, but a community of people that are the complete opposition of God. And thus the story begins. God will let you stray. Moni, does God let you stray? Does it mean he doesn't love you? Does it mean that he's not there? Does it mean that he won't take you back? None of those things. Some of you this morning need to hear that you're straying and God's waiting. Some of you need to see that God has sent people to you to run you down, to chase you when you're strayed, to reconnect you to that which is connected, to see that you were lost. And right now you sit and God will let you, just like the story of Cain. But don't forget the preface, which says you don't have to stay there. You don't have to make that decision. And we see from then on that God has revealed that he is one that chases. We go from that story, and then God from there finds and writes the entire part of what it means to be God's people, and he starts to look for people that want to choose to trust him and choose to believe him and choose to be his people and choose to be his church. And we see a whole story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and a whole land and a whole people group for the entirety of history that are going to walk the path and the journey of life together. And we see that there is a God who chases that which strays. God goes to Abraham. He calls him Abram in the beginning, and he says, I'm looking for someone to be willing to put me on display to the world. I want to create a people. I want you to do it. I'm asking you to partner with me. And he comes to Abram after he went to Noah, and there's consequences to our actions, and the consequences of the people's actions when Noah was there was that God was gonna flood the earth. But then that story, we start to see that that's where it starts to change. And God says there are consequences, but what I will never do again, what I promise I will not do is destroy that which I love and which I've created. And we see that God makes a covenant with Noah, and he says, I won't destroy it. Will you trust me? And he goes to Abram and he says, I want to make a covenant with you so much so that I want to be in relationship with you. I want to show you that I'm in this for the long run. I want to show you no matter what you do, no matter how far you run, no matter how much you forget, no matter how hard it is, no matter how fearful you are, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. Don't forget the story. And he makes a covenant relationship with Abram. And in the time, it's a covenant between one and two. They come together. And God is a God that already knows what's going to happen in his story, just like he already knows what was going to happen in Cain's story. He already knows what was going to happen in the story of Adam and Eve. He knows what's happening in your story and in that story. And he says, we're going to make a covenant relationship together, and I'm going to show you what it means to love. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going first, and I'm going through the covenant, and I'm going to keep it accountable to myself because I know that you're not going to be able to. I know that you're not going to be able to, and a God that we have is a God that shows up and he chases. He says, I know you're going to run, and I'm saying yes anyway. I know that you're going to get fearful. I'm saying yes anyway. I know that you're not going to keep your end of the bargain, but I will. This covenant remains because I am faithful, and I will love you, and I won't quit, and I'm going to chase you down. And he makes that covenant relationship with Abraham, and he says that you today, Christian, when you sit in this chair, that covenant is the same for you if you trust me. Do you believe that I'm not going to quit on you? Do you believe that I'm still here with you? I know that you're going to mess up. I know that you're going to stray. I know that you're going to deviate, but I want you to know that I'm still there, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to show you myself. And we see that there's a people of God that start to believe. Oh, we're going to clap her. Let's go. We're not even starting. And they're perfect, and the story's over. Is that how the story goes? No. No. Some of you are like, well, that, well, I wasn't perfect, so my story's over. Who are you today? And Abraham makes his covenant. God says that. And Isaac and Jacob, and there's a whole group of people that come through there. And we see that these people, they go, oh God, yes, thank you. And you're so good. And we trust you, God, and we love you. And God, you provide for us and you forgive us. And we really like that. And we need that. We're a group of people together. We're starting to be those that are called out. The beginning of what is called the church, the ecclesia. And God says, this is what it means to be my people. You're going to trust me, and I'm going to have you show the rest of the world who I am. This is who I am for you. And he invites this gentleman named Moses to help set some people free. You know the story of Moses. Well, if Moses is going to set people free, what are they getting freed from? I thought that with the story of God with Abraham, that everyone was perfect and it was good and God's good with it. No. We see that that group of people, they say, God, we know who you are. God, we want to trust you. Right? The story of where we're going to sacrifice of Isaac to do it. But we see that the people of God, although it's good and it's great, we have this story, they find themselves when times are a little tough. Things are a little hard. Says there's a famine and there's a lack in the land. You ever had a hard time in your life? Ever had a situation where you wish you had a little bit more money? Where the relationships weren't the way that they were? Maybe the economy was a bit better. Maybe our government would do a better job. Hypothetically, that there may be tough times that are coming. Well, that's what happens with God's people. Just off the heels of when God says, I trust you, I love you, I'm gonna make a covenant with you. I know you can't do it, but we're gonna enter into this together. And we see that God's people, Israel, when they come across a tough time, just like when they go, God, enough for me in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, God's with me. I have all that I need. God says, don't chase the thing you don't have. I'm enough. I promise. You don't need that thing that looks better. You don't need that stuff that's going to provide immediate gratification. You don't need to take it into your own hands. You don't need to build it on your own. Would you trust me? What do? They run. They stray. And they say, you know what's better? Egypt is better. Egypt has abundance. Egypt has provision. Egypt has our back. Egypt is going to make us feel better. Egypt is going to be that which we can trust in. And they go to Egypt. Let's just call it Vegas. Okay. I know what happens in Vegas. I hit a couple dice in the right thing, double down on this. My life's good again. They run to Egypt. And what do they find in Egypt? Come on. Slavery. That in which they ran to find life, they found death. They found bondage. They found slavery. And we have a God that just watched it happen and said, I wish you wouldn't do it. Is that the story? No. We have a God that says, remember that covenant we made? I meant it. Remember that character that I showed you? I am it. And this is the part where God starts to say, I told you I was looking for a people to be me for people. And Abraham, you were. And people make mistakes, but I'm still with you. So God reveals himself to this man named Moses, this stuttering, non-qualified, non-ready, murdering person. That's who God likes to pick, by the way. Some of you in this room are like, God's not picking me. Wrong. Wrong. And he says, I'm going to use you to help me set my people free. And guess what he says to Moses? And again, we're seeing the character of God and the heart of God so that we would understand what our aspirations are to have our character. And he says, Moses, I'm going to choose you and I'm going to send you into the place where slavery and bondage are. I'm going to send you into a place where my people have forgotten who I am. I'm going to send you into a place to do the miraculous, which nobody is going to see. And because I care about what I care about, I love what I love the most. That's my people. And I know they stray and I know they forget and I know they deviate. But Moses, I'm asking you yet again, would you trust me? Because I'm going to send you into a place where it looks like there's no hope and there's no life, and I'm going to use you to chase that which has strayed, to run my people down. And I want you to tell them that when they ask, who are you? You tell them that I am with you. I'm with you. I am that I am is what Moses hears from God. And when they say, who are you to help run us down? Who are you to help set us from slavery? Who are you to call me when I'm gone from church? Who are you to ask me where I've been? Who are you? You say, God is with me. That's who I am. Because I care about what God cares about. And our God says he's one that chases. He's one that runs down. And Moses goes into Egypt and God does the miraculous through it. And in the middle of it, he says, again, will you trust me? Will you believe that I'm enough? When you're in slavery and in bondage, and when the plagues are going and the world's crazy everywhere, I'm gonna make a way. And guess what it's gonna cost me in order to continue to chase and to continue to run? It's gonna cost me my life. And he sets the stage and he says, the thing that's gonna actually set you free from that bondage that you keep turning to, that apple that you keep grabbing, that life that you keep building, that bondage that you keep promoting, that life to where you're actually finding death, the thing that it's gonna take for me to set you free is my life. The blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of your hearts, of that which is your house. God says, I'm going to give my life so that you can find it. When you're lost, when you forgot who I am, when you forget who you are because of the life that's happened around you, from the decisions that other people have made, God says, I will chase you. I will find a way, and it's going to cost me. I walk through the covenant first. I give my life for your life. I'm going to give my life for you life. We're just in the story of Exodus. We're just in the story of Exodus. And the rest of the story is a story of God's people trusting and forgetting. Seeing the beauty of God's creation and choosing that over him. Finding the idols of life that look like their life, and we stray and we forget and we run and we hurt each other and we make bad decisions and we isolate and we try to clothe ourselves and put on masks. And here we are in creation over and over again. And a group of people say, God, we want to trust you, but no, we want to trust ourselves. And we get through all the prophets and all the judges and all the people to where like, we want a king and we want this and we want a better government and we want the land and we want all these things. And before God even brings them into that spot, at the end of Moses' story to the next story with Joshua, Moses tells them yet again, don't forget. Don't forget who God is. Don't forget what he's done. Guys, let's not forget. Let's not chase. Let's not run. Let's not wander again. We know where it ends up. And what do they do? What do we do? What do I do? What do you do? Yeah, but yeah, but this thing happened there. You know, it's a great opportunity, God. And I just, God, thank you. I'm gonna do it now, God. And over and over and over again. And here they are and here we are. It's a story. God puts them in the promised land. He says, I'll provide. And I have. But I'm not taking you out of life. I'm putting you right in it. The world's gonna watch. The world's gonna see. You're gonna be in the thick of it. You're gonna be in this world, but not of it. You're gonna have temptation. People are gonna challenge you. You're gonna be invited and to try to do everything that is the opposite of what I have for you. You're gonna try to find hope where it's not. You're gonna try to find life in what you can build. You're gonna try to find approval and assurance and identity in everything in the creation and not in the creator. And over again, guys, this loop happens throughout the entire story of God. Over and over and over and over. And then we get to the point to where God, although he's already said, I love you this much, I've already made an agreement with you. It's gonna cost me my life. It's gonna cost me my blood. It's gonna cost me for you. God comes on the scene. We get to the New Testament. God himself in the flesh chases us into the world in which he created. God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, Advent, Christmas time, woohoo, right? Here he comes. I'm chasing you into my own creation. I'm gonna embody that which it is. I'm gonna be with you. Literally, I'm with you now. I've been with you, but now I'm with you even more. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says that my people are like sheep without a shepherd. My people are those that wander often. I am a God that chases. I am a God that loves. I am a God that won't relent. And so much so that I've come in the flesh with you to be with you, to show you that I love you. I am going to be the good shepherd. I am going to lay my life down for you. I am going to sacrifice for you because I love you. I have not changed. I have said that you are good. I have said that I can provide. I'm going to be here. I am now God with you in the story of Jesus. And Jesus does what we already know he's gonna do. He's gonna be in relationship. He's gonna walk the path. He's gonna trust the Father. He's gonna be sacrificial. He's gonna be loving. He's gonna go into the place where the sinners eat and where the drunkards drink and where the lost are found and the prostitutes are hiding and the people are doubting. Right where you find yourself, Jesus goes. He gets into the boat. He goes out into the wilderness. He finds you in the desert. He is everywhere that God has always been and he does it in the flesh. And he says, I'm gonna chase you again. I am who I am. And then he starts to say what he's always said in a little more specific way. Would you come with me? Would you be this with me? I have set the stage for you to be this. And we find that our God in the form of Jesus is willing to lay his life down that we would find it. That yet again, a new covenant, a new furthered relationship through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, not on the doorposts, but hopefully in our hearts on the cross. Jesus the Christ, our God himself, gave up his life that we may have it. He came into where lost people are. He chases us into his creation. And after that, it gets even better. It's even better because when Jesus says this, he looks to us and he says, if you're my disciples, go reach the world. They're gonna know by how you love. And guess what? I will be with you until the end of the age. What I have done for you, would you do for somebody else? Would you go into the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Would you teach them to obey everything that I have commanded? Would you tell them the story of God of who I am from the very beginning? And I'm going to give you my spirit inside of each and every one of you to be with you, that you would be a people that God invited back with Abraham, that God invited and shown and put on display with Moses, through Joshua and Jacob, and through the judges, through Ruth, and through Boaz, and through every person in the entire story up until now that says, my people embody who I am to the world. You are to be that which puts me on display. Now the Spirit of God is in every single one of us that are empowered to do what God does, which is love those that he has said are good. We will chase the strays because God chases the strays. We will be a church that says we will go into the darkness. We are gonna go into Egypt. We're gonna go into tough relationships. We're going to the bar. We're going to the desert. We're going to the places where the strays are because that's what our God does. That's what our God has always done. And that's what he invites us into. And he says, when I lose my life, it's so you'll find it. And he says, you church who's sitting here today, you will find your life when you give yours away. When you give yours away for those that are lost, when you remember what it was like to be found, when you remember when somebody called you and chased you and you were embarrassed and you were broken and you had no hope and you were Adam and Eve and you were covered up and you were hiding, God said, I'm gonna come find you. Would you do that for somebody else? That is why we will chase the strays. Here's what I hope you hear today. We have not arrived. But man, God is a God that loves you. God is a God that knows if you sit in this room today, if you're running, would you see that he's chasing you? Would you recognize the people that are coming after you are trying to do it because they love you? God is relentless. God says, I'll always be with you. Would you choose to trust me? We as a church, as Real Life, we as a Coeur d'Alene campus, we don't want to do a new thing, but we want to be something that people may see as new, that choose to sacrifice and give our lives away so that people can find it. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to connect people. And when they stray, God darn it, we're going after them. As we end here, I just want you to think for a minute what it's like when you stray and what it's like when you chase. We've already talked about it. When we stray, we're hurt. When we stray, we lack faith. When we stray, we have fear. We let fear overcome what God says is good. We stray because relationships are hard. We stray because we hurt each other and we make bad decisions. Sometimes we stray because we have pride. Sometimes we stray because, like Eve, that job and that money and that position and that house and that friendship and that thing and those likes on social media and that business review on Google and all the stuff, that looks better than what God has for me. Sometimes we desire that which God says is not to give us life to make us life. That's when we stray. When you have that dog that runs away, right? When we stray, sometimes we know it. If you're chasing somebody that strayed, would you know how they feel? Would you remember how you were when you were there? We tell the story sometimes about a drowning person. Any lifeguards in the room? Let me see your hands. You're like, I don't want to raise my hand. Okay, let's pretend there's a lifeguard in the room. Okay, somebody's drowning. How are they acting? Yeah. You ever like felt like you're gonna drown before? Yeah. Guess what they're not doing? Day at the beach, working on my suntan. Hey, I'm fine, don't worry about it. That's surely not how they are they? Why do we think that people that have wandered away from God are fine? When a person's drowning, they're fighting for their life. They're fighting for their life. And then if we're gonna be the lifeguards, if we're gonna be those that chase that which is strayed, when those that are moving towards being lost, those that are moving in the direction that's away from God, when you're trying to save a person that's drowning, what happens when you get close to that person that's drowning? Yeah, they're not like, thank you. Now, sometimes they are, but more often than not, it's kind of like this, right? And they're like, you're the closest thing to land, so I'm gonna grab on you. And if you gotta die for me to survive, that's what's gonna happen, right? You might get punched in the face, scratched in the eye. You might get drowned a little bit, drink some water. They're fighting for life, right? If you're gonna try to save somebody, would you not expect that that's what it's gonna be like? So when we are a people that are gonna say, we're gonna chase that which is strayed, and we're gonna recognize that people are choosing death over life and they think that they're dying, that when we go after them, why are we surprised if we get screamed at and punched? Why are we like, oh, they didn't like it when I tried to help them, so I guess I should just leave them alone. No, no, no. They're fighting for their lives. They need you to help them. To find them, to know that they've strayed, to know that they're hiding, to know that they're broken, to know that they're hurting, to know that they don't have life, to know that they need you. That's who we have to choose to be, to make that phone call, to show up at that doorstep, to follow up with that email, to not be worried that I might get punched in order that I may save them. And then you know what happens after a drowning victim gets saved and then they get back on the boat and they get back into life? Then usually how are they? Sometimes they're like, thank you. I'm sorry I punched you in the face along the way. I was just scrapping for life. I was drowning in the own decisions that I made. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. I was wondering if you were just going to let me go. I'm sorry that I attacked you when you tried to help me, but thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not letting me go. Thank you for seeing that I need help and coming after me. Without you, I don't know if I'd have made it. Anybody got a toddler in here? Yeah, come on, Carter, right? You ever chase your toddler around the house? You know, just because when you want them to come back or whatever. How are your toddlers when you chase them? Well, they love it. They're like, this is a game, right? And they're running around and there's food everywhere. They got like paint on their fingers, right? More than likely a full diaper, which is why you're trying to chase them. You're like, hey, look, this ain't going good, right? Let's don't throw that. Let's not break that. And they're like, this is so much fun. This is a game. I love it. This is life. It's amazing, right? And there's some of us that when we stray, that's how we are too. I'm running from my father. I'm running from my mom. And this is great. I got paint on my fingers and I got food everywhere and I got full drawers. And I think this is awesome. I'm loving life right now. This is great. Chase, 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 fun, 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 life, life. Not. Is it? What happens when you get when you find your toddler and you get them? You actually catch them. Are they laughing and giggling and saying, this is great and I love it? No, not anymore. Now you're the problem. You stopped me from having my fun. You didn't let me be who I wanted to be. You're telling me that I have to do all these things. I was having fun just the way it was, even though I got stanky drawers and paint on my fingers, and I think this is life. Actually, you're the problem. You're the one that's chasing me. See, there's people that stray just like you and I that don't know that they're dying and drowning. They actually think that they're having life and that they're full of it. And the only thing that's full is them drawers, you know what I'm saying? Okay? Would we know that people think that they're having life when they don't have it? They believe that they're fine when they're lost? They think that the things they're striving after, that they're chasing for, that this life that they're building, that this wandering, aimless, no hope, no value, no identity, that we would actually look through that and go, actually, no, you're not okay. And I'm not going to show up in the fake Genesis that we talked about and yell and scream and tell you how wrong you are and how bad you've always been because they already know. This is where the character and the heart of God's story matter. We have to be benevolent and brokenhearted for those that think that they're chasing after life when all they're finding is death. We got to know who we're chasing and why. We got to know how it's going to go. How are we going to be people that chase each other if we have unrealistic expectations for how people are going to respond? How did God feel when he said, I'm going to go into the place that takes life? I'm willingly sacrificing to go into the places to where people find life that they think and it's not actually there. I know I'm going to get hit. I know I'm going to get blamed. I know I'm going to get beat. I know I'm going to get lied about. I know I'm going to get whipped. I know I'm going to end up on that cross. And I'm going to do it anyway because I love you, because forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. We have to be a people that are mindful of what it means to chase those that are strayed. To be gentle as we choose to return them back to a God who loves them, who is gentle in returning. Consequences are a thing. They are real. We've talked about that. But a gentle rebuke and a loving invitation to come home is the way that we chase. Man, do you see how we are matters in what we do?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.